Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan and I'm joined by the coach, as always, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, is this a polar vortex too, or are we just getting some cold weather?
Oh no, we're definitely in the throes of another polar vortex. And no, the Coach K and Joe Show is not a weather, the weather channel on the internet. But right now, our show takes place out of the Midwest. Even though we have listeners throughout the country and throughout the world via the internet, it is icy cold right now in the Midwest. I think where I'm at, we're looking at about 7 degrees. One of our contributors from Indianapolis on Indianapolis High School Hoops, Don Schultheis, will check in with us later. He's at like zero, with wind chills of 20 below. I mean, it's cold from here down to Atlanta, over to the East Coast. Our listeners out of North Carolina who want to tune in and listen to a little Tyler Zeller later in the show, I'm sure it's cold in North Carolina. And I'm not just talking about North Carolina, the Tar Heels shooting right now. Icy. I know it's icy right now. But it's cold right now. But the Coach K and Joe Show, it's not affected by weather, although some listeners might want us to be. We are not affected by listeners. And, Joe, we got a great show coming up on this Friday edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. Obviously, you could be listening live right now or you'll be joining us later on podcast. But we're here. We're ready. We have a great guest coming up, former Indiana High School Mr. Basketball, state champion at Washington, Indiana, in the southern part of the state. We've had Luke Zeller on, we've had Cody Zeller on, and of course the North Carolina ACC Player of the Year and now NBA Cleveland Cavalier, Tyler Zeller, the trifecta of the Zeller family, joins us today on the show. It's going to be great talking to Tyler. You know, Joe, that Zeller family, outside of all being 7 foot, smart, talented, it's just a pretty great group of people, isn't it?
Yeah, I think Mom and Dad did a great job with those kids. They're also kids. I say kids. They're also well grounded. And we had them on when we got Tyler on this week. I started thinking, you know, you started saying what the triple crown or trifecta or whatever. And I also got to thinking, you know, because we've had the Zellers, we've had quite a few Mr. Basketballs on already.
Yes, we have. We've had quite a few.
So they kind of help those numbers, don't they? And you just, I said, them, and they do a great job. You know, Mom and Dad did a great job, and, you know, the distinction camps that they have been wonders for the kids, you know, in the areas where they have those camps. They not only teach them about basketball, they teach them about, you know, the values of living, you know, living a life as a good person, just like the three of those have done.
Absolutely, and besides Tyler Zeller, we'll be talking, in fact, in just a few minutes, we'll start talking a little Super Bowl, NFL, Peyton Manning, of course, a favorite of the people in the Midwest, especially here in Indiana, and of course, he's with, unfortunately, the Denver Broncos, and you know, my thoughts on that, Joe, and I want to mention to the people that they obviously can call into the show, or they can text me, Coach K, Ken Schultheis, directly, at 812, write it down, folks, because good, bad, or ugly, I'll take your text and talk about it, 812-480-9449, and you can also call the show. But we've got NFL. We're going to talk a little bit about the Super Bowl. We're going to talk about Big Ten. What is Big Ten basketball right now? The Hoosiers, Purdue, Ohio State. I think we've all seen a deep freeze. Not only has the weather affected the icy cold air, but it's also affected some of these Big Ten teams that were supposed to be the favorites. And the only team really And obviously the icy coldness of Minnesota, they're used to it. Minnesota, of course, is on a roll. We'll talk Indianapolis high school hoops as well as hoops throughout the state of Indiana on the show today. We'll also talk a little bit about the Pacers. Of course, Paul George named to the All-Star starting unit. And a great turnaround story that continues to move forward. And I know Joe will be interested in talking a little bit about Greg Oden, a former Hoosier native, Ohio State great, and injuries. It looked like Greg Oden's NBA career was over, but folks, it's not over. But before we talk all about that, I do want to get into a little NFL, and Joe, I'd be remiss if I did not mention a good friend of ours, Tom Ollis, great family, Jasper, where we grew up. His mother, we call her the former First Lady of Jasper because her husband, Mayor Jerome Chick Ollis, he was mayor of the Jasper, Indiana for many, many years, and she passed away this week, and her funeral is today. And later on in the show, we'll talk a little bit about Annie Ollis and the Ollis family. But let's talk a little bit about the NFL, Joe, in this first segment. Super Bowl coming up next week. This cold weather is not going away. Joe, you are a football guy, and you love football. And there are certain teams you root for and certain teams you don't, certain players you like and certain teams you don't. Certain players you don't. We'll talk about Sherman here in a little bit. But if I offered you, and you knew it was going to be below zero weather, snow coming down. I mean, they showed some pictures of the Meadowlands Stadium yesterday, just full of snow and icy, and they're trying to clean it out. And there's no guarantee we're not going to see more snow. That we know the temperatures are going to be at least in the 30s around game time. If you had that ticket, would you go to the Super Bowl outdoor stadium, freezing cold, potential of ice and snow? Is Joe Milligan that type of an NFL fan, or does he get him a big pizza and sit on the couch and listen on the TV?
Well, if I had a chance to go to a Super Bowl, I would be there no matter what. You know, it is the Super Bowl, but you know, I'm kind of hoping for some really bad predicted weather for Sunday, because I think they have the option to move that to Saturday. And I would love to see a Super Bowl on a Saturday. I could have a lot more fun enjoying the game in a cold, icy cold Coke on a Saturday a lot more than I could on a Sunday. And so for selfish reasons, I'm hoping they get socked, or at least it's predicted. Well, maybe they could be like our weatherman around here, you know, predict it and then it doesn't happen. Predict the really bad weather for Sunday. I mean, I think every bar in America would be happier than all heck if it was a Saturday game and they jam-packed their place of establishment with people to watch that game. So, Coach, you know, I know I got off a little tangent there, but to answer your question, if I had a ticket and Reese and Rafe and Reed, I don't know about Liz and Ryan, but the four of us would be there. Now, Liz and Ryan would probably might opt out to you know, to a different warmer venue. So, but the four of us, yes, definitely.
Well, you know, if they would go to Saturday, it would make a lot of employees around this country and probably around a lot of the world who watch the Super Bowl. It's just one of the biggest events, but especially here in the United States, it would make a lot of employers a little happier because their employees would be a little bit more awake and in better shape. But a Saturday Super Bowl, you're right. I don't know if you'd be drinking a Coke or not, Joe. You might be drinking one of those big old tall Yardo beers that you and Liz like to sip on once in a while. But it would make for an interesting Saturday. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't mind having the Super Bowl on a Saturday. I know I mentioned to my seventh grade son, Scott, about he said, Dad, are we going to have the hot wings and all that stuff for Super Bowl Sunday? And I said, well, you can have some guys over. He goes, no, Dad, I just kind of like it on a Sunday evening where we're just sitting around as a family and we have our little Super Bowl party. So that's probably what we're going to do. Now, if it was switched to a Saturday, Joe, I might be joining you for a Yardo Coke or Yardo beer somewhere or Yardo Jack Daniels. I don't know. But that would
I'd
be
probably.
Folks, I was just going to say, you're not going to get around the cold weather of the Super Bowl, but it warms my heart, and it would definitely going to be exciting for me as I'll take my little pick at Jim Irsay. You know, Peyton Manning's going to be going for a Super Bowl, and it's a great story because I don't know if people realize how serious his injury was, how serious a neck injury is, and in that position where he can get hit from behind, hit from the side, jerked around, and you talk about being in an auto accident where your neck gets jerked around. I mean, he can get that on a Sunday anytime. He came back. He doesn't have the zip on the ball, although I don't think Peyton Manning ever had great zip on the ball, but he just has such an uncanny ability of releasing that ball ahead of the defense to the spots where the receiver is going to be, and it floats in there or wobbles in there, but it gets in there, and it gets in there all of the time, most of the time, and absolutely accurately. But as Jim Irsay waits on luck to get into a Super Bowl, and that's a pun on words there, and it probably will happen, it's just great to see Peyton Manning it work out, John Elway bringing him in, although I do like Tim Tebow. It was a great move. It was a tough move, but it was the right move. And now Peyton Manning has an opportunity to win a Super Bowl with a second franchise. It's a great story because his brother Eli won a Super Bowl in Indianapolis, and now Peyton Manning is going out to the New York area, to the Meadowlands, where his brother Eli plays, and he has a chance to win a Super Bowl and make him, I believe, the only quarterback. There have been others that have played for a Super Bowl with two other franchises, but it may make him the only quarterback to win a Super Bowl with two franchises. Joe, I don't care if you like football or not. I don't care if you like Peyton Manning or not. It's a great story. It's a great story.
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of people in the Hoosier State that think a lot of Peyton Manning, I was never a Colts fan. There's no secret of that. But he's kind of like a Bill Mallory type person. As much as you'd like to dislike him, it's just not going to happen, you know. And he's a great guy, and he's done a lot for the community. And he's another one of those, you know, when I always talk about the Pacers and the Heat, I always brag about the Pacers, how good people, work hard, not showboat. There's nothing showboat about he's just a good person. He goes out and does his job, and if he wins another one, so be it for the Denver Broncos.
No, I'm just more than so be it. I want him to win it. I'm waiting for him to win it. I think it's going to be a tough task. I think it's awesome that we end up at the end of the year in the Super Bowl in really a throwback type of player in Peyton Manning, a throwback type of team in the Seattle Superhawks. And I'm not talking about the trash talking and all that stuff that went on with Sherman, although we'll talk about it in a minute here. But they are a defensive-oriented team. They have a quarterback who I just love in Russell Wilson. He's not putting up huge, huge stats, but he gets the job done, and he gets it done playing hard and playing smart. Pete Carroll, what a great story of a NFL coach who, you know, starts out in the NFL and doesn't make it. And he goes to USC. He sucks up his pride. He's humble, but he's got that great high school, college-like enthusiasm. It's all about the kids. It's all about the team. Yes, you can find negatives about Pete Carroll. You can say that he didn't follow all the NCAA rules. But the bottom line, this is a great matchup between the Seattle Seahawks and the Denver Broncos in what could be a return to the Ice Bowl. As the Green Bay Packers had gone through. So pretty interesting. Folks, we're going to go to our first break. Tyler Zeller is going to be coming up later in the show. We'll also talk about Indiana High School hoops. Tyler Zeller will be on the first hour. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about the Seahawks cornerback Sherman. And we'll also talk a little bit Big Ten basketball. And then Tyler Zeller will join us on the Coach K and Joe Show. If you're out of North Carolina or Cleveland and you're waiting for Tyler Zeller, he's coming up. But I know one
thing. Washington.
And Washington. I know one thing. You'll be back to watch us or to listen to us in the future. We're going to go to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar. You know there's a reason why Ubelar sells so many vehicles. No call before midnight, no dock fees, just saving you money the right way, day in and day out. So when we say you can lease a new cruise for $159 per month, it's not a bait and switch, it's $159 per month with $2,000 down. Or if you have a GM card bonus earnings, nothing down. It's well worth your time to make the trip to Jasper. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, where customers send their friends for all the right reasons since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm the coach, Ken Schulteis, and, of course, my partner each week, Joe Milligan, is with us. Deep Purple, Smoke on the Water. You can't beat that. And there is smoke on the water throughout the Midwest and East Coast as these cold temperatures have us just going one after the other. Folks, you may hear some static in the back, too, and that may be Joe working with the equipment or he's got a couple kids at home that are sick today, and that might be them getting on him to get him some soup or something to eat. But we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And, you know, there's been a lot of criticism of the Seattle Seattle Seahawks. It's Richard Sherman, isn't it, Joe? What's his first name?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, people might say, well, Coach K, you don't even know his first name. That's because I don't get that uptight about stuff like that. You know, I coached, and it was on the high school level and in some all-star games, but if you came to me right after a big game, whether it's a loss or a victory, especially a tough loss where the officiating was poor or we worked our butts off, 5,000 fans in the stands and we got beat on a last second shot or made a mistake where the ball dribbled out of bounds, you're going to get raw emotion. And these players on the pro level, it's tough right after a game. You get the Peyton Mannings, you get that, the Wes Welkers, people like that, the RG3s. But you also get a lot of Richard Shermans. They're keyed up, they're hyped up, they're in a different zone. They're at a higher level. That stuff doesn't bother me. But here's what bothers me. The Skip Baylesses, the Mike Greenbergs, those kind of guys who want to criticize Richard Sherman for his comments and want to put him down and want to kind of make him seem like, you know, this isn't the kind of guy you expect in the pros. Well, what are you talking about him for? Do you know you made this guy another $1 million in endorsements? You know you got him on the front page? You know you got him in commercials within 36 hours? I mean, you're talking about the things that you deplore that really bother you. I mean, to me, it's an enigma. On one hand, you're criticizing this guy on national television, but on the other hand, you're making him a national star. Whether he's a falling star or a bright, shining star or a star that's going to shoot quickly and burn out. It doesn't matter. You're making him a falling star. But the bottom line is, Joe, this guy made a great, great play. And you may not agree with me, Joe, on my assessment of the situation, and that's okay, and I'll take your opinion. But I really think that if you don't like what a guy did, don't talk about it so much, because all you're doing is making him a star with his 20 minutes or 15 minutes of fame.
Well, you know, when I did not hear him, the comments live, so I had to get on the internet and see exactly what he said. And after seeing what he did, I was kind of like, he was excited. You know, he just, you know, the guy just made a big play to send his team to the Super Bowl. And I was like, I thought maybe he was, you know, speaking in language that he shouldn't use, you know. And I just kind of scratched my head and said, what's the big deal over? And then I listened to Mike and Mike and stuff like that. Unfortunately, I tuned in and, you know, they're making comments about it. It's like, I don't see what the big deal was. I personally, you know, I never like agreeing with you. You know that better than anybody. And we agree on this because it was kind of like, what's the big deal here? You know, what are people getting so freaked out about?
Yeah,
I didn't understand.
And I'm with you, and I understand why people maybe took offense to what he was saying, and I'm sure Crabtree didn't like it either. It is after a big game, a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and I'll tell you what, the Super Bowl is the biggest thing in football and one of the biggest things in sports, but getting that opportunity to go to the Super Bowl, Peyton Manning gets an opportunity to go back. Champ Bailey gets his first opportunity to go to the Super Bowl after a great career. You know, there's so many opportunities. John Fox, after a tough year health-wise, he's been there one time, didn't get the victory. He has a chance to go back. Pete Carroll has redemption in the NFL as he goes to the Super Bowl to solidify himself as really a great coach on all levels, whether you follow the NCAA rules or not. Still, he's going to the Super Bowl. To me, you have to understand there's such an emotion that people will say things. They're going to say things that they wouldn't normally say had they had 15 minutes to kind of settle. You have 20 minutes to settle. And I give the Tom Brady's, the Peyton Mannings of the football world, the LeBron Jameses, I give them a lot of credit because they've worked hard that within a minute or 2 minutes after a game, and a lot of the coaches at halftime and right after the game, they're able to pull it in, to reel it in, and watch what they say. Mind the words, the expressions, and really the tone of what they say as well. So, come on, folks, let's get off that. Let's just get excited about the Super Bowl coming up. Peyton Manning, I really think this is going to be a tall order. It's going to be tough, really tough for the Broncos. I think in cold weather, and Joe, you've been on the field more than me, I think in cold weather, really cold weather, a really good defensive team has the advantage over a good offensive team. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that Seattle does have an advantage there. But to get on my high horse, if we're going to play a Super Bowl in a city like this, you know, Indianapolis, I mean, if the Super Bowl was there this year, guess what? We shut the roof, and the game's played without any elements. But then again, some purists are going to say that's what, you know, you play in the elements. Football's to be played in the elements. So, but I do think Seattle's got an advantage there. Reese kind of just groaned. I don't know if he disagreed with me or if he's worried playing his Xbox. But yeah, I think the Seattle does have the advantage. And just I said, you know, let's go somewhere warm. Let's go somewhere warm.
Well, I'm not against that. I'm not against going somewhere warm, Joe. I mean, you know, people that say football played in the elements, that's because they didn't have any indoor stadiums when they started playing football. They didn't have a lot of things when they started playing football. They didn't have helmets. They didn't have pads. So I think it's crazy for people who realize that the earth, people, human beings, there's an evolved, an evolution. People evolve. People adjust. Businesses evolve. Businesses adjust, and so do sports. Do we want to go back to where you can't dunk? Do we want to go back where the lane was smaller and people could just stand there and just jump from the free throw line and dunk the ball? I mean, there's so many things that we could go back and say. Bottom line is, for a sport that brings in billions, listen to me, folks, billions of dollars to be fan-friendly. And a fan-friendly sport has to have, when the elements are bad, you know, if Canadians want to play hockey in a frozen football field, fine. I don't care. And for you hockey fans, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to a hockey game anyway. And most of them are indoor anyway. So, I mean, they're all indoor other than the throwback games. Make it fan-friendly. Go to places that have indoor stadiums. And especially the warm weather climates are great. And you know what? I don't think anybody would have a problem if the Super Bowl rotated in California, New Orleans, somewhere in Florida, maybe Indianapolis. I don't think people would have a problem with the warm weather cities at all, Joe. It's got to be a fan-friendly event. It's international. It's like the Coach K and Joe show. It's international. Joe, let's jump over to Big Ten basketball before we have to go to another break and bring up Tyler Zeller. And, folks, if you're listening in North Carolina, Cleveland, the Washington, Indiana area, of course, Tyler was born in California, spent some time in possibly Iowa or Minnesota or something. You might be listening all over the place. I'm sure you are. Let's talk Big Ten basketball. Joe, what is going on in the Big Ten? Ohio State loses four straight. Indiana looks good one day and looks like a seller team the next. Purdue continues to try to figure out who we are. But here's the team that everybody's got to be taking note of, and I think they were off the radar to start the season, the Minnesota Golden Gophers. This team of Richie Pitino, first-year coach, beats Wisconsin, beats Ohio State. If you come to Williams Arena, you better be ready to play Minnesota because they're playing well right now.
Yeah, they're playing really well. And, you know, Ricky was down at Florida International where my daughter goes to school last year and made the jump to the Big Ten this year at Minnesota. And, you know, he's making waves. And it's been a weird Big Ten. When's the last time? We'd have to get our research staff on this. When's the last time that that Northwestern beat both Purdue and IU within 7 days? When's the last time, Coach?
They're winning ugly too, and you might say, Coach, what do you mean by that? When you watch Northwestern play, and Coach has done a great job with them. I mean, he really has. He's putting them in a game that takes away some of their penetration, takes away the easy outside shot. They don't look great offensively. They're not going to run up and down the floor in a free-flowing game. They're going to work the clock. They're going to bang you physically with whatever they can get away with. It's not good-looking basketball. It almost reminds me of Tom Izzo's early period with Michigan State. Before some of those great players started coming in as well, they just do what needs to be done to win games. And you're right, Joe. Northwestern's win at Illinois. Northwestern's win at IU. I think the Illinois game was in Evanston, excuse me. Those are great wins for a team that's really under a new coach is looking for a new identity.
Well, I will get on my high horse here. And I wonder if this will come back to bite the Big Ten teams that make the NCAA tournament. When Purdue played at Northwestern the other day, to prove my point, because I know everyone knows I'm Purdue biased, I will post a video on the Coach K and Joe website Hammonds got called for seven travels the other night. Seven. On five of those, he got the heck beat out of him. Now, what happened to the hand checking and the and all that stuff that, you know, the games that, you know, that earlier in the year, now we've got the Big Ten referees and now we're turning into this again, is, I know, well, Purdue's not going to have to worry about it, but is this kind of physical play going to come back to bite the Big Ten once they get into the NCAA tournament? Are they going to, are the other conferences, I'll be honest, I watch IU, I watch Purdue, I watch some Big Ten. I don't watch a whole lot of other basketball. You might be able to answer this question for me because I know you do. Are the other conferences kind of slacked up on the foul calling since they've gotten into conference play? Coach?
You know, Joe, you bring up a great point, and I've noticed that too, the fouls that were being called early on. I thought at first that it was just that the teams were adjusting, and I think a lot of teams have adjusted, but I would agree with you. It's kind of strange how the Big Ten has kind of been the dog going back to its vomit, so to speak. I know that's a little crude, folks, but really, this, you bring up a great point, and it could hurt the Big Ten come tournament time if the officials, and let's face it, Joe, the officials are going to be on display. And the NCAA, who said clean up this hand-checking, clean up this bumping, they're going to be on display, and they're going to be following that line a little bit closer because they want to make sure that their employers on the NCAA are happy about that. We may have to get a Big Ten official or an NCAA administrative official in on the show to talk about that. I know we know one, so we'll have to look at that. But, Joe, that is a great – and it is something that the Big Ten needs to worry about. But we see a Big Ten right now that a bottom team like Northwestern, and Northwestern, their power ranking in the Big Ten is 10th. It's not like they're a top one, but they've got some good wins. Ohio State had lost four games in a row. They went, Joe, from number three, dropped all the way down to number 17 before picking up a win against Illinois the other night, 62-55, Ohio State 16-4, and folks, those four losses came with four straight. Illinois 13-7. Illinois 9th in the Big Ten power rankings. Indiana, listen to this, guys. Indiana 8th in the power rankings of the Big Ten. And folks, sometimes they look like they could be in the top 5 of the Big Ten, and sometimes they look like they should be 10th or 11th or 12th in the Big Ten. Here's a freshman team, and I'm tired of saying freshman team, but Coach Green always brings it up. We're young, we're young, we're young. Well, really, you're not young anymore because you're in the middle of the Big Ten season, and guys have to make adjustments. But, Joe, I think it's pretty clear, and if our listeners disagree, they can let us know. You can text me at 812-480-9449. The Hoosiers can't shoot.
No, they're having problems. They've got a good one coming in, though. I know he's a year away, but he's going to be a really good one, Blackman. But one more question, Coach, about not just Big Ten play. The few other games I have watched, have they abolished the 3-second call? 3 seconds in the lane. I've seen an awful lot of people camp in the lane, just stay in there, don't leave. And, you know, if you're allowed to do that on offense, you know, that's a pretty big advantage.
You know, I don't know when they have the with these three officials, if somebody is focused on the lane area. I think they're watching so much the player with the ball and some of the guys away from the ball, but they're not, you know, they're watching how the guys are playing in the post, how they're posting, whether they're wrapping their arms, whether they're pushing, but they're not watching where they're at in the lane. And I'll tell you what, Joe, you're exactly right. And I have said this, and I know different fans feel the same way. Guys are just camping in the lane. Folks, we're not talking about 4 seconds. We're talking about 6 and 7 seconds. You are supposed to clear the lane with both. Guys are going down, establishing a foot in the lane, 2 feet in the lane, and they're not leaving the lane. Their parts of their feet may get out of the lane, but they're not out of the lane. And I'll tell you what, that's a bad situation, and that, I think, leads to a lot of the physical play underneath, kind of the crappy part, the thuggery, as I call it. If guys had to move in and out of the lane and they were calling that, you wouldn't see the thuggery going on underneath. You wouldn't see guys holding and wrapping and really pushing the way they are and putting their arms on top of guys' shoulders so they can't jump, or stepping on their feet so they can't jump. Although I probably use that with a few players once in a while. But they won't move in and out of the lane. And that is directly because coaches are smart. Players are smart, Joe. And we're going to do what the officials allow us to do. And if the officials aren't making us get out of the lane, we're not going to get out of the lane. And that's another great point. Joe, here's another thing that bothers me about the Big Ten power rankings. Purdue is ranked ahead of IU in the power rankings. Purdue at 13-5, 3-2 in the conference. Indiana 12-3, 2-3. Yeah, 3-3.
If it hasn't been 3-2, then in 13-5, that means the Northwestern game hasn't been factored in yet. So
okay, it wasn't factored in the power ranking. So you're right; they did lose to Northwestern. The Big Ten right now, everybody calls them the best conference in the country. I was one of the guys, and go back to the podcast. I questioned that. I questioned that from the very beginning. I think that Ohio State is undersized. I said that all year. I thought they played a weak non-conference schedule. It did shock me a couple of wins they had, though, folks. I will say that. I directly put that into their tradition and bad motto. But I think once you get in the Big Ten, it's physical, and the officials let you play physical. And if you're undersized, it starts to show. And, Joe, it goes back to your point. They didn't allow all that physical hand-checking play early in the pre-conference schedule, and Ohio State took advantage of it. Now they're letting that slide, and the more physical teams are taking advantage of that. And who would that be? That would be a Michigan State. Who else would that be? That's a Minnesota. Wisconsin, although they stubbed their toe a little bit, it's really because it looked like they were a little tired and wasn't ready to play. But they take advantage of that physical play. So if you're a finesse team, you're an athletic team, if they're not going to call those fouls, those touch fouls, those push fouls, those hand checks, Joe, you make a great point. Will it hurt? Will it hurt the Big Ten come NCAA tournament time? Great point. Well, you know, Joe, I'm shocked that you would be able to reach down into that mind of yours and pull that out.
Well, I'm used to coaching at seventh grade refs, so I'm learning more every day. So,
I'll tell you what, we're going to go to break here in just a minute, and when we come back, we're going to have Tyler Zeller, and we're excited to have Tyler not only because of his Indiana connection with Southern Indiana, Mr. Basketball, a state champ, but he's a great player, and he's solid, just a good guy, and we love the Zellers. We've had CZ, Cody Zeller, LZ, Luke Zeller, and TZ, Tyler Zeller, the trifecta, the triple threat, the triple crown. And, you know, Joe, one thing that we might mention real quick, Luke Zeller is back playing basketball in, I think they call it the D-League, with the opportunity at some point to maybe be called up. He's playing down in Texas. We're excited for Luke Zeller. Not only does he do a great job with the distinction camps and programs of the Zeller family programs, but, you know, the guy is on a journey, and what a journey it's been. But this time we're talking to Tyler Zeller, great ACC Player of the Year at North Carolina, and now an NBA rising star, and he really is with the Cleveland Cavs. Injuries slowed him down a little bit, an appendectomy, but the playing time is starting to come back. The body's starting to cooperate. We're going to go to break. When we come back on the Coach K and Joe Show, we'll be talking with the NBA Cleveland Cavaliers' Tyler Zeller on the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Toyota Scion of Jasper. It's warming up from the deep freeze we've been in. Some say it's because of global warming. We here at Ubelar think it's all from our hot deals. Like the all-new Corolla for $169 a month, or the number one selling car in America for the past 15 years the Toyota Camry for $199 a month, both with $2,000 cash or trade. As always, Ubilars is where customers send their friends for hot deals since 1929.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is the coach, Coach Ken Schultheis, and with me is the trifecta of the Zeller family. We've had Luke, we've had Cody, and much anticipated, I'm excited, I know that, the former Mr. Basketball of the state of Indiana with the Washington Hatchets, a state champion, North Carolina Tar Heel, ACC Player of the Year, and now a Cleveland Cavalier. We welcome to the show Tyler Zeller. Tyler, great to have you on the show.
Thanks, great to be on.
Well, Tyler, you're in the midst of what is always a grueling season in the NBA, and I know we've had Scott Rowland, who played Major League Baseball, and how grueling Major League Baseball can be. But the NBA, to me, because you're flying in and out of cities so quickly, there's no 3 or 4 day stay. It's in and out, back home, and maybe a day of rest, and back out there again. I guess I just want to start out with, in the NBA season that you're in right now, you started out with a hip injury, an appendectomy. Your minutes are starting to climb up. Do you feel like with the push and tug and the fly in and fly out and coming off the injury list and trying to give it, are you getting back into a little bit of rhythm right now?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it is a long season. It's one of those things that you just got to keep pushing. You know, it's the whole Andrew Bynum situation. I didn't play a whole lot at the beginning of the year, and then been starting to play better since then. And really just trying to, you know, get back in the flow of the game and just trying to make, you know, as many plays as possible. But at the same time, you know, we have a very talented team. We're just trying to put it all together.
You know, with the Andrew Bynum situation, he came in. Of course, you were starting off with injuries and the appendectomy. I know over the off season, after a pretty solid rookie year in which some people had you as a rising rookie star, second team, I believe, in the NBA rookie team, all-rookie team, you had a really nice year. You started for the Cavs. You went on and tried to gain some weight and gain some strength after going through that flu bug at the end of the year where you lost a lot of weight. Then you get injured. Then you get the appendectomy. Have you been able to regain some of that weight that you've lost since then? Can you feel a difference in your strength? Are you starting to feel stronger as the season's going on and you're playing a little bit more?
Yeah, I'm definitely starting to feel stronger. It's you know, the only good part about, you know, not playing at the beginning of the year is I was able to do a lot of lifting and a lot of just trying to gain my weight back. I did lose about 8 to 10 pounds of appendectomy just because of all the drugs and stuff they put you on. You're not able to eat a lot, so that was it was kind of hurt just because it was the beginning of the year, and I had worked to get all that weight up. But I'm back to about 2 or 3 pounds below where I was at that time, and feeling very comfortable with it. I obviously like to get the rest of that weight back, but feeling very comfortable right now.
You know, a lot of people understand that the NBA is a really physical game. You played with one of the great programs, all-time great programs in college, and one of the great conferences going through the NCAA tournament. How much of a difference is there in the physical play of the NBA versus what you went through during your 4 years at North Carolina?
It's a big difference. You know, in college, you always have the nights where you play against the guys that are, you know, 6'6", and you know, maybe not as athletic as guys, and the NBA, you're playing against people just as athletic, just as big, just as strong as you every night. And, you know, they're all very, very talented on top of that. So it makes it that much more difficult. And you really, really got to be, you know, ready to play every night just because everybody's very, very talented.
You know, Tyler, talking about the strength training, and I know a lot of our young listeners and even some of our older parents who have kids that are playing, as you get in, even though you're 7'1", 250 pounds, you're long, you're lean, the grueling schedule of the NBA, in a city, out of a city, playing odd schedules, morning, noon, and night, do you keep a consistent, not just nutritional a set, but a lifting? Are you on a regular lifting schedule?
I don't know if it's normal, but there's definitely days that we lift. If, you know, if we get back real late, it makes it difficult but to lift the next day. But at the same time, usually I try to lift just about every day we have practice, which isn't a whole lot since we play a lot of games. But sometimes you end up lifting on game day, and you really just got to try to get one in every, you know, 2 to 4 days and just try to stay consistent with it.
Are you ever in a situation, I know you're 24 and you've only been in the league a year and a half, but did you ever get in a situation where you woke up and wondered what city you were in? And I mean, just because of the travel and the constant movement of the schedule?
Yeah, you actually know one of the hardest questions is, who did you play last night? It's notorious around the league. It's a hard question to answer just because we play so many teams, so many games, that sometimes you forget, you know, exactly who you played last night. So between that and then, you know, when you go on the long road trips to the West Coast, we actually just got back from Orange after 9 or 10 days, and every once in a while you forget, like, what room you were in, and just because you're in a different hotel every night, so it's a different hotel room, so. But it does get grueling, and you just got to try to stay on top of it.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about as I looked over the information, and I follow you all the time. I follow Cody as well, and it's great to see Luke was getting an opportunity to play a little basketball again.
Uh-huh.
Has the game for you changed from being a game to more of a job? How has basketball changed for you as far as your mental approach and your enthusiastic approach? And I don't want to say that you wouldn't enjoy it anymore, but how has it changed as far as how you look at the game of basketball?
It's changed a lot, but it's also very similar, which I know contradicts myself, but you know, every night when we go to play, it's obviously something I love to play and something I love to do. But when you play as many games as you do, it's something that, you know, sometimes it is like a job. It's tough to go into the office and, you know, get after it on a day of practice or something like that. But it's something I really do enjoy. And it's kind of like once you get on the floor, you're fine. It's just leading up to it, it's kind of difficult to get into it. So, but other than that, you know, it's much more of a, I enjoy this part of it, but it is a job in the aspect that you got to be prepared and you got to, you know, study film and you got to study everybody in the league and you got to know who you're playing against, their moves, because it's not like college where you're, you know, some nights you're just more talented than the other team. Everybody's talented in this league, and if you're not prepared, it's going to show.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I think a lot of people don't realize. As you keep going up the ladder, you're getting the best of the best out of college, and sometimes the guys that even are just there for a year, they're skipping and going on into the pros. They're the best of the best, and
uh-huh.
Even though the Cavaliers are young and still trying to work their way into a competitive situation and one-loss record, any night in the NBA, teams have to be ready to play. If they're not, doesn't matter what the record of the other team is, you're going to get
none. Yeah, I mean, we saw that the other night with, you know, the Suns against Indiana. They ended up beating them by about 20, and, you know, nobody thought that would happen. But on any given night, you never know what's going to happen.
You're speaking of the Pacers, you know, being the Coach K and Joe show is out of Indiana. We all love anything to do with the state of Indiana. We have listeners all over the country via the Internet. But you're out of Cleveland, very close to Indianapolis. You've seen this Pacer team. This is a pretty solid Pacer team on the offensive end and the defensive end.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I know they're leading the league in defensive field goal percentage, which is a big stat that we keep and track. But they're unbelievable on both ends. They can really score, and you know, they really don't have a weak spot on their team, which is what it really takes to put together a really good team.
You know, Tyler, your minutes are starting to go back up again, and you're feeling better, and your body's working with you again. But you went through the flu bug late last year. Then you had the hip injury. Then you had the appendectomy. You've rolled an ankle. Is there any frustration that happens for you that period of time where you end one season, you're excited about this next season, your second season in the league, you go through these injuries? I mean, does that weigh on you mentally? Does that make you question the future? I mean, just for people to understand what you go through on a daily basis, how did you handle that, and what was important for you to keep focused on as you went through those injuries?
You know, my faith got me through a lot of it. I've been, you know, even in college, I was injured a couple of times, but really just remembering that there's a reason for everything. And, you know, you may not like the reason or you may question it, but at the same time, like, God's got a reason for everything. So, you know, it's still some frustration along with it, though. I mean, the appendectomy, obviously, I couldn't do anything about, and tried to recover and get back as fast as possible, but and then the, you know, kind of the sprained ankle on top of everything else, the sprained ankle was probably the obviously I was over it in, I think it was a day and a half, but it was just frustrating because it was just kind of the way the season had gone for me. And now, you know, as I've played a few games and gotten into the flow of things, it's kind of rewarding just to be able to know that I did keep after it and was ready when I got that opportunity.
Let me ask you a question. When you and Cody get together now, who buys dinner?
We usually split it, actually. we usually go out and we'll, you know, if we don't split it, you know, he'll get dinner tonight and I'll get dinner tomorrow or whatever. So we don't really ask. We just kind of figure out who's going to pay and then go with it.
And what about having your younger brother in the league with you? Of course, he's in his rookie season. He's learning his way. Do you get up in the morning or afternoon, whatever time you're able to get out of bed after the game before? Do you check to see what his stats are from the night before? Or is it just something, you know, you just take a glancing look at every once in a while?
I usually try to keep up. Obviously, as many games as we play, I don't get every night, but I try to keep up as much as possible, and, you know, even if it's just, you know, seeing the scores and clicking on it and checking his stats, but I try to keep up as much as possible, and then if not, I'll talk to him, and he can give me the rundown of how his week's been.
And I've got to imagine that, you know, it's a busy time, and you've got to be ready for the next game out and the next team and the next man up. When you get ready to play games, and I know you're playing against great players all the time, is there any particular player or players that when it's your time to play them, I mean, you just really, they're just outstanding. They're going to be tough guarding you. They're going to be tough to score against or to guard against. Is there anybody that just comes to mind where you say, man, got to go up against him tonight?
Not really. Last year I ran into that a lot just because, you know, there's a lot of people I watched playing when I grew up, and so it's kind of cool when you play against those guys. But anymore, it's you just kind of have to prove to yourself that you're on a similar level to them. Obviously, the all-stars and everybody, they're going to score. And you can play perfect defense, and they may still score. So you just got to make it as difficult as possible on them and really just come prepared to make it as difficult as possible for them. And sometimes that's it. There's, you know, some given nights, there's no stopping people. It's just making it as hard as possible and trying to hold them to as little as possible.
And I know that when coaches, you know, there's always changeover with coaching in the NBA, and a lot of those guys have been around and they understand the way the league works and how the league plays the games. How is it for you from a player standpoint, not for the coaches in this particular question, but the changing of teammates throughout the year. There's change out, injuries, and changeover of players. Is it tough to keep a chemistry on a team, or are some of these guys just so good professionally they can just come in and after a few practices and a couple games get the rhythm and the chemistry starts to come together for the team?
I would say it takes, you know, a week or two, but it's actually very, very quick just because, well, one, we play so many games, so you get a lot of experience very quickly. But the other part is, I mean, some of these guys are just very talented, and you just got to learn, you know, where they want the ball, how they want the ball, and you just got to, you know, really learn their tendencies. And other than that, you know, they're all very talented players, so you just got to learn it as quick as possible.
Well, my seventh grade son Scott wants to know this answer from you. How good is Kyrie Irving?
Very good. He's one of the best players I've ever seen in my life. He can score. He can, as far as dribbling, he's one of the best ball handlers I've ever seen in my life. And we've double and triple teamed him, and sometimes you still can't steal the ball from him. So it is pretty incredible, and he's a fun guy to play with.
You know, years ago, and I'm bragging a little bit, I was working a camp, and it was Larry Bird's camp. It was years ago, and we played a counselor's pickup game, and Larry said, be ready for the ball, because I'm telling you, we're passing on a different level tonight. And I can remember and him hit me in the face with the ball. Of course, I muffed it and threw it up there, and it actually went in. But when you got to the NBA, was the speed of the game, the passing of the game, was that a big change? Is that from level to level? Did you notice just how much the game changes and your adjustment to it?
Yeah, it changed a lot. I mean, the speed of the game is very quick, but I think the biggest difference is just the complexity of the game. And I always thought it was a simple game until I actually had to learn the NBA game. And it's something that, you know, because you have five guys that are very, very talented, you have different defensive schemes, and you know, you're always like people like Kyrie, the other team's always trying to take the ball out of his hands, and but at the same time he's so talented that sometimes that's impossible. And so you're always learning different things and trying to, like I said, you're just trying to make it as difficult as possible on the other team. And most nights they're still going to score, you know, anywhere from 80 to 100 points, and you just got to try to pay attention to every one of those little details.
I know they have tried to make the game, both the NBA and now even college and high school, they're trying to make it more of a free-flowing game, take away some of the physical play. Have you seen it change a little bit in your time in the NBA? Or is there more moving of the feet, less arms, hands, shoves, or is it still just a pretty physical game?
I mean, I haven't been here long enough to see a change personally, but it is a very – still a physical game just because, you know, everybody you're playing is grown men, and it's something that it makes it pretty physical. So you got to be strong with everything you do, but at the same time, you know, I think they are trying to clean it up a little bit and make it more free-flowing. And there's certain things that you see that with, but other parts you still got to be very strong to be able to make some of the moves.
Well, I appreciate all the time, and I don't want to hold you much longer, but I do want to ask you one or two more questions. The winning and the losing. You know, we talk about high school, and you've got a game a week, possibly two. College, you might have a couple games every few days, and then you get in, hopefully qualify for the NCAA tournament. The NBA, so many games, night in and night out. How do you adjust mentally to the winning and the losing?
Really, the biggest thing you got to learn is, you know, you got to get over it pretty quick. You know, if you lose, it's one of those things that you know, you come to practice the next day, you're ready to get after it, and then when practice is over, you're focused on the next team. And it's kind of the same thing with winning. If you win, you come to practice, you're obviously a little happier, everything, it goes better in practice, and then, you know, you got to kind of get over the win or the loss and get ready for the next team. And the biggest thing I learned last year was just that there is no breaks. You know, in college, if you're struggling, you lose a couple in a row, you got 3 or 4 days to recover. NBA, you're lucky to ever get, you know, 2 days off, and the games just keep coming, and, you know, nobody's really going to sympathize with you. You just got to learn to keep going.
And what would you say is the biggest part of your game that has expanded since you've been in the NBA? Is it ball handling? Is it positioning? Is it shooting? What part of your game have you probably made the biggest adjustment on or improvement on?
Really, I think just trying to learn the game more as far as the NBA style and how everybody moves. So just trying to be in the right place at the right time, and which is a lot more complex than I ever thought. And so just really trying to learn, you know, where to be at the right, you know, when to be there and all that. Is something I'm still trying to learn, but at the same time, I think I've come a long ways in a year.
Well, I think the most important thing is you're getting healthy and you're getting on the court, and playing time always makes up and makes us all better. So we're excited for you, and we're excited for your what you guys are trying to do in Cleveland, and I hope Coach Brown and the rest of the guys come together and start moving in a positive direction. I think you've got Milwaukee coming up, correct?
Yeah, we actually got Milwaukee tonight.
So when you think about Milwaukee, is there any particular area that you're focused on or who you're going to be facing?
A little bit. A lot of it goes into, you know, Milwaukee's not had the greatest year this year, so probably the biggest part is just coming prepared to play and make sure that we don't underestimate them, because, like I said, like every team can beat any team on any given night. So we always got to be prepared no matter who plays, and really just come out and try to play as hard as possible and do our game plan as close to perfect as possible.
Well, I wish you were on the Pacers. I would have loved to have seen you get into Indianapolis, but you're in Cleveland, and it's a place that they really do love their sports. The fan support seems to be solid for the Cavaliers. Have you enjoyed your time in Cleveland?
I have. Actually, Cleveland's been a very good city to me. You know, as far as fan attendance, you know, we have this year and last year, we weren't the greatest team in the world, but somehow the fans keep coming out and keep supporting us, and I mean, we'll still have solid games, and it's impressive that the fan base here is as faithful as they are.
And I certainly hope that you guys will continue to improve and give those fans what they deserve. I catch the games on Fox Sports, and I catch some of the Cavaliers pregame stuff, and I think they're trying to do it right in Cleveland, and I hope for good things for you guys. Tyler, thanks for being with us. We certainly appreciate it. Like I said, we had Luke, we had Cody, and now we have the trifecta in Tyler. It's a heck of a family. Your mom and dad have done a great job. Of course, the Distinction Program, which is a Zeller family program, we certainly support that and promote that. Do you get an opportunity to get out to any of the camps?
Yeah, I actually made it to 4 or 5 of them last year. Really just kind of trying to work around my schedule and get there as much as possible. Obviously can't make them to all, but I try to get back to as many as I can.
Well, it's certainly a great program. I was able to attend a couple camps as well as a banquet that Luke and the family put on at the end of the year, so it was very enjoyable. Once again, Tyler, thanks for being with us. Good luck in your game against the Bucks and the rest of the year.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go to break. Again, loved having Tyler Zeller. All three Zellers have been on the Coach K and Joe Show. We love it. We're going to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
This is Tony Ubelar. You know there's a reason why Ubelar sells so many vehicles. No call before midnight, no dock fees, just saving you money the right way, day in and day out. So when we say you can lease a new cruise for $159 per month, it's not a bait and switch, it's $159 per month, with $2,000 down. Or if you have a GM card bonus earnings, nothing down. It's well worth your time to make the trip to Jasper, Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, where customers send their friends, for all the right reasons, since 1929.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show. It's not the U.S. Postal mailbag. It's not the Joe mailbag. It's the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth! Woo!
Now here is Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's mailbag.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe show. I'm Joe Milligan, joined by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schulteis. And Coach, I have a question for the Coach K and Joe mailbag first. New York and New Jersey people must not know what they're talking about.
Well, Joe, coming from you, I could understand that. But obviously, whether you're in Indiana, whether you're in the Midwest, whether you're in New York or New Jersey or over in the Middle East, Coach K speaks the truth.
Okay, well, Coach, let's see if you can speak the truth on this week's mailbag. We've got first question is from Kelly in Lagodi. I know that you attended the Lagodi Bar Reeve game. What were your thoughts on Hoosier hysteria in the gym?
Well, Kelly, I'll tell you what, I had a very enjoyable evening. I went up to watch the next segment of the great rivalry between Lagodi High School and Bar Reeve High School here in the state of Indiana, in the southern part of the state. It was a great atmosphere. Walked in to Jack Butcher Arena, the Lions Den. Looked to be at least 3,000 people there. Now, mind you, folks, these are small towns. Lagodi might have 2,500 people. Bar Reeve is made up of Cannelburg and Montgomery, Alfordsville, a couple of other smaller little townships, and maybe 1,500 people. So we're talking about a gym that's bigger than the community that it's in, and just a great atmosphere. The thing that was really neat about that night is Lagodi High School honored its 1,000-point scorers on both the girls and boys side, and there were 20 of the people that they brought out, and just great memories from the old St. John's High School in Lagodi that eventually merged with Lagodi High School. It was great to see Jim Trout, Junior G, Brian Canada, Billy Butcher, Jeff Doyle, so many wonderful names that if you're familiar with Hoosier hysteria on the high school level, Jack Butcher was there. Of course, I'm younger than Jack by quite a few years. I was 22 when I first started as head coach at Washington Catholic. But Jack saw me in the hallway. We talked immediately. We had some great battles. But, Kelly, it was a wonderful atmosphere. And I can tell you that in Martin County, Davies County, in Lagodi, Indiana, Bar Reeve High School, Hoosier hysteria is alive and growing. And we've got a young Lions team that really has to shorten the game if they're going to have success. And a very, very good 1A, number one ranked Bar Reeve Viking team. Coach Hughes does a great job. And, of course, my son Josh is a part of his staff. The whole setup was great. John Mullen, the principal at Lagodi, Jeff Doyle, the principal at Bar Reeve, was being honored during the Lagodi game. Travis Madison, the superintendent, does a great job. I got to be on a couple of radio stations there, WRZR. Was very gracious, and the general out of Washington was very gracious, and it was very enjoyable. Kelly, if you're not going to a Lagodi game, people should.
Okay, next question. This also has to do, well, not really with Indiana high school basketball, it has to do with college basketball. This is from Jim in Jasper. I left Jasper. I mean, hold on, it's hard to read. I left Jasper at the beginning of the Purdue game, drove to Pike Central, watched the Jasper-Pike Central game, and then got in my car and drove home and watched the end of the Purdue game. Why are college basketball games taking so much longer this year than they have been in the past? And do you think maybe they ought to make games 2.5-hour blocks instead of 2 hours?
Well, first of all, Jim, let me just say you made a good choice to leave watching the Purdue game and go watch the Jasper-Pike Central game at Pike Central, which Jasper won, and they should have, but it's a good win, a solid win for them. the only problem you made, mistake you made was going back and watching Purdue. And of course, I'm just getting a dig in because of Joe. But the reason college basketball games are lasting so much longer, and Brian McAtee, a listener of the show and a former player of mine, we talked about it on the way up, he would say it's all the hand-checking fouls. I disagree. It's money. It's TV money. The timeouts, the TV timeouts, they're longer. The duration of them are longer. You might have a regular timeout by the team, and 20 seconds later, you've got a TV timeout. Half times can be extended a little bit longer because of television. Folks, we're not talking about your grandpa's college basketball games. We're not even talking about the college basketball games that when I was in high school, college, and in my 20s were around. The game is great, but TV and the billions, and I said billions of dollars that are involved in college basketball are doing the same thing they do to NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball. They are increasing the time. And that's why, folks, a lot of times when a ticket presents itself, I will stay home and watch it on TV and watch multiple games, because between the drive to watch the Hoosiers and the drive back and the hour difference and the length of the games, it's just a long, long day or long, long night. But it's money. I mean, think about this, guys. Think about this, people. A billionaire, Warren Buffett, is now jumping in on the NCAA saying, I'm going to give a billion-dollar prize to someone who can pick the NCAA tournament 100% accurate. Warren Buffett wouldn't be getting involved in the NCAA if this wasn't such a huge event throughout this country. And I'm sure Warren Buffett has other reasons for what he's doing. I think it's great. I think it would be so wonderful for someone like myself to win that prize. Not only do I get $1 billion, but I get to meet Warren Buffett, and possibly I get to spurn Mike and Mike and say no to coming on their show. But, Joe, it's money. Billions of dollars, and that's why games are lasting longer.
Well, you know, to interject there a little bit, I get frustrated when I try to watch a college basketball game and I get to miss the first 7 minutes because of the game before. You always got to hope your game's the first game on their list, because if it's the second game, the odds of seeing 100% of the game have gotten smaller. So it is a very valid point he brings up. Why can't they make it if it's a money thing, why can't they make it 2.5 hours instead of 2 hours?
I agree with you 100%, and I would like to see ESPN, Fox, whoever does those doubleheaders, usually ESPN, I'd like to see them go to split screen. I'd like to see them go to split screen so we could at least see what's going on in the other game while they're finishing up the game before. And I'm serious. Split screen, keep them going, because tuning in to watch the second game just as much as the people who are tuning into the first game.
Okay, next question. And my computer's moving a little slowly today. Here we go. Our weekly question from John Bots Magic Bodorf. Coach K, does 13-5 or even a multiple co-champion 12-6 win the Big Ten regular season title this year?
Well, at this point, it's very, very possible, although I believe Michigan State being able to pull out some wins with Payne out of the lineup really makes them formidable. I mean, Michigan State's number three. They're 18-1. They're 7-0 in the Big Ten, I believe. You know, when you look at the rest of the Big Ten, yes, but I think the fact that Michigan State's out to the jump that they are and winning without Payne, and that game against Indiana was just, you know, the problem with coaching basketball for so long and really for so long of my young life looking at basketball not as entertainment but breaking down the game. It's hard for me to watch a game and just cheer. And I know I've said this on the show before. It's hard for me to just be a fan. So I'm watching that Michigan State-IU game, bots, and it's just tearing me up because I've seen the Michigan State team before in my own teams and in other teams. They weren't ready to play. They're missing a key player, so their chemistry's a little off. I call them the January blahs that teams go through because it's cold and the season's starting to get long and people are kind of hitting that midway point, getting a little tired. And Michigan State looked like, you know, trying to get through this and pull this off. And I thought Tom Izzo was great. I thought he was sitting over there thinking the same thing I would have been. Boy, let's just get the lead and try to hold on to this thing. And Indiana played well enough and yet didn't play much better, but played well enough to hang in with a team that like Michigan State. But I think, Fox, to answer your question, as long-winded as I always am, Michigan State's just got the upper hand here big time now. And I'm not saying that a Minnesota can't creep up or a Wisconsin can't put a string together, but the couple of losses that Wisconsin has taken is going to make it a lot tougher. Michigan State, remember, is winning some of these games without Payne in the lineup. I don't think Payne coming back is going to cause a chemistry issue. So after first place, it could be anybody. But right now, Michigan State's got the upper hand.
Okay, next question comes to us from humongous Michigan Wolverine fan and Coach K and Joe Show sponsor, Josh Houchin. Josh asks, Coach K, with the Wolverines' play of late, what are your comments on the Wolverines? And also, what is your prediction for the Michigan-Michigan State game this weekend? Which to, what's his name? I can't believe I forgot it because I don't like him. Michigan State had a big loss yesterday. What was his name? Oh, Dawson, Brandon Dawson, hit a table and broke his hand and is out for a while.
Well, you know, I wish you would have told me that before I answered Box's question because that changes a lot of things. Their interior play is in trouble. And I don't know if people realize it, but I saw when it happened during the Indiana game, Appling hurt his back, and I'm sure that he's going to try to play through it. I haven't seen any injury reports, but I believe it with this situation that has occurred, Michigan is playing decent ball right now. And Michigan's got a chance, Josh. You know I'm not a big fan of Michigan's, the way they put their team together, but they proved me wrong and got to the final game last year. I do think they're missing some key players. They are a step above Indiana because they have some maturity back on their team. But again, Michigan goes the way their shooting goes. You can say, well, Coach K, that's every team. No, it's not, folks. There are a lot of teams out there on the college level, the high school level. They don't have to shoot well on the perimeter to win. Michigan has to shoot well. Their style of basketball, it puts them in a position they need to shoot the ball well if they are going to be successful night in and night out. And they don't play very well when they're not shooting well because they don't have the bangers. They don't have some of the other players that they need, finesse players they need in order to win basketball games. But I think what you just told me, Joe, opens up a very interesting situation for Michigan State. If their interior players can't get back to being healthy and doing what they need to do, and Appling struggles with that lower bad back. Folks, I don't know if you've ever had a bad back problem, but I'll tell you what, you are incapacitated, and it's tough to play. Larry Bird found that out late in his career. That bad back took his about three more years where he could have put up some great numbers with the Celtics and deteriorated that. Scott Rowland had a bad shoulder but also had a painful bad back at times. It just changes things. So, Joe, I'm glad you told me that. I really didn't know that, but I would say that puts Michigan in a position where they can win that game.
Here's a trivia question. It's from me, from Joe and Jasper. How many Mr. Basketballs have we had on the Coach K and Joe show? Do you know the answer to this?
I'm going to take a quick guess, and I'm going to say 5.
Okay. And name them?
I can't. I can name the Zellers.
Okay. We had also had we had Tom Coverdale on.
That's right.
And we had Kent Benson. So you are right.
I'm pretty good, Joe. I remembered that we had 5, and that's pretty awesome to have 5. Joe, I've got 2 questions here from listeners. Billy asks, Coach K, can Greg Oden be a real contributor to the Miami Heat? Billy, here's the deal. Greg Oden is doing something that a lot of people never expected him to do, and that's come back from this injury. I love that Miami has taken its time with him. He has appeared in some recent games with the Heat. First time he got the ball, he did a massive two-handed slam. In another game, a player from the Celtics took it down the baseline and was going in for, it looked like a possible jam or a floater. Greg Oden, he was the long arm of the law, and he was right there and jumped up and matched him and swatted that thing away. And if you remember Greg Oden in college, or even in high school, he was tremendous at defending the rim. Guys trying to get to the rim, he could defend that rim, and that's what really made him so valuable to a team, especially in the NBA. His ability to rebound and defend the rim in the NBA is critical. Why do you think the Pacers love having Hibbert? To answer your question, Billy, I think he can. Again, through the grace of God, that he stays healthy. He's a lot bigger than I remember him a couple years ago. I'm sure some of that is just excess weight that he's put on, being a grown-up and the metabolism not going the way it should because you're not out playing, that he's stronger. He still has footwork, and he can still jump. I think he can if he stays healthy. But I don't think it's going to be till we get late in the year that we really get to see Greg Oden start to play basketball the way he can. My last question, Joe, is from Jeff. Can Wichita State go undefeated in the Valley? Jeff, yes, they can. And I'm kind of looking at their schedule of games coming up. They've got Drake. They've got the Aces in Kansas in February. They go to Northern Iowa, which can give them some problems, but they're not the Northern Iowa they've been. They play Southern Illinois at Wichita State. They come back and play the Aces. The Aces always play Wichita State well at home, but I'm not sure the Aces have what it takes this year, but Marty Simmons will have them ready, I guarantee you that. And then they play Drake again. So, there's a few other games maybe in there, but I really believe that they can take an undefeated record into Valley play for the tournament, and we'll see what happens. Remember, folks, Creighton is no longer in the Missouri Valley, and that makes a big difference in the hierarchy for the Missouri Valley Conference. They added Loyola of Chicago, but Loyola of Chicago is not very good. Number 5, Wichita State sits 20-0 right now, 20-0, and I asked Jerry Palm on the show a week ago, can Wichita State end up with a number 1 seed? And he said, absolutely they can. Of course, they have to win. Indiana State is also a team in the Valley that needs to just keep winning if they're going to have a chance in the tournament. But, Jeff, to answer your question, Wichita State, the Shockers, a Final Four team last year, they definitely can run the gamut and go undefeated in the league.
Okay, is that your last question?
That's my last question, Joe. Anything else before we I know Don Schulteis, our Indianapolis contributor, he just texted me. He's en route, and he will be calling in just a few minutes.
Okay, well, I have no more. That's all that was submitted this week. Some good questions. Real quick, I've never been to a Ligoti Barre game, but I was at a Ligoti Heritage Hills game back when South Spencer coach Ted O'Brien played. He's my nephew. And the thing that I love to hear, it was at Jack Butcher Arena, and it was the last game of the year. And they talked, it was Saturday night, and they told everybody, make sure everybody come out. We're going to decorate downtown. As you know, I have a lot of connections with the city of Lagodi. And the thing I've always loved is it seems like old times. And I know Bar Reeves is the same way. And I really wish more communities could be like that.
Well, Joe, you make a good point. And for people outside of the state of Indiana, and you may do this a little bit in Kentucky and in some communities in Ohio, especially for football, but if you're in Illinois, but if you're outside the state of Indiana for years, for decades, people, I know growing up for me, when my dad was coaching and when I was playing, they always decorated the downtown stores. There would be pictures of the team, of players. There would be streamers all over. When we got to sectional time, every store in town decorated. We don't see that a whole lot anymore, unfortunately, in this last decade. Once we got through really the middle 90s and late 90s into 2000, started to change some. But there still are communities throughout the state, the smaller ones, that do that. And, folks, I would ask you that you're a business owner in a smaller community, in any community. Support your high school teams. When tournament time comes or big games come, decorate your storefront. If nothing else, you're going to cause people to take notice. You're going to cause people to look. And you may cause a mom and dad or an aunt and uncle or friends or teammates, players of the team, to say, hey, I'm going to go in there and do business with that store because they support our team or they support our kids or they support our school. But, Joe, that's a great point you bring up. That was a lot of fun. Was that not neat to go down on the square in Jasper, Indiana, growing up and see all the stores decorated, the black and gold, the posters, everything going on black and gold?
Oh, I used to wait anxiously for the DuBois County Herald to put out their sectional issue. You know, and I used to look through that thing. Every team, I knew it back and forth. You know, by the time that first game hit, and I remember the colored pictures, and you know, I even remember after sectional, seeing Donnie and John, your brother, you know, in the pictures with their little hands in the air, and thinking, oh, that's pretty cool. And then seeing you with your hand in the air, and it kind of making me mad, thinking, why can't I be in there? For some reason, you always made me mad.
Well, you're still hoping you can be in there. But, you know, they used to do cardboard cutouts of the players. I mean, it was the only game in town, and cable wasn't as big back then, and you didn't get to see all those games, and you didn't have a lot of pro sports in Indiana. I understand all that, but wouldn't it be neat, folks, we can't go back, but that doesn't mean we can't bring some things forward with us. So I think it would be great for the communities. I think it creates a lot of enthusiasm for the kids and even adults, and it makes it more of a social event as well and brings people together. So if you haven't done that in a while and you own a business, go back and do that. We can't go back, but we can certainly bring some of those wonderful things along forward with us as we move forward. Joe, let's go to break. And when we come back, if Don hasn't called in yet, that's okay. We'll talk some high school hoops, some of the teams around the area, and then when he calls in, we'll talk Indianapolis hoops.
That sounds good. You've been
okay.
Listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Toyota Scion of Jasper. It's warming up from the deep freeze we've been in. Some say it's because of global warming. We here at Ubelar think it's all from our hot deals. Like the all-new Corolla for $169 a month, or the number one selling car in America for the past 15 years, the Toyota Camry for $199 a month, both with $2,000 cash or trade. As always, Ubelar's is where customers send their friends for hot deals since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Hi, this is Tyler Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back. And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm the coach, Ken Schulteis, joined as always by my good friend, sidekick, and sometimes, I guess we get in a few arguments, Joe Milligan, and we're back on the show. We're going to talk a little high school hoops before Don Schulteis talks or calls in, and we talk a little Indy high school hoops with him, of course, some outstanding teams and outstanding players up in the Indianapolis area. I've had a couple text messages from people who their feeds on their computer have gone in and out. We don't know if that's our problem or just the slowness of the Internet today. Maybe cold weather, extreme cold weather bothers the piping of the Internet around. We're not sure, but we're here, and we haven't quit talking, and, of course, you know I haven't. Let's look at some of the high school boys' conference standings in the southern part of the state of Indiana. And if you're over in the Middle East or Europe listening and you're from this area, you may be familiar with some of these teams. The SIAC Conference, which is basically made up of the Evansville schools as well as Castle. Harrison leads that conference, although they've had a struggle. One of the top teams going into the season, they've had a little bit of a struggle. They played a good schedule, though. They're 7-6, but 3-0 in the conference. Wright and Bossy also undefeated in the conference. Memorial at 6-3, Modern Day both 1-1 in the conference, 5-5 overall. Then Castle, who just won the SIAC City Tournament. Believe it or not, they're 9-4, but they're only 1-3 in the conference play, but they did win the City Tournament. The Castle Knights did, and then North, who won the other night over Gibson Southern, they're 0-2 in the conference, but 4-4 overall, and Central's 0-3 and 5-5 overall. In the Big 8, Jasper, 3-0 in the conference, 5-4 overall. Mount Vernon, 3-0 in the conference. They'll play later in the year, 5-5 overall. Princeton, Vincennes, Lincoln have stubbed their toe of late. They're 2-1 and 3-2 respectively in the conference. Mount Carmel, Washington, and Boonville, 0-5 and 0-11 overall. If you are a Pioneer fan, it's tough in Boonville right now, averaging only 47 points a game and giving up 66 points a game. Pocket Athletic Conference, of course, Coach Matt Sisley's been on the show. Heritage Hills Patriots are 4-0, 10-1 overall. He's got a really nice team, outscoring their opponents by 18 points. Forest Park, 3-0, Jasper's opponent coming up. Southridge is 7-4 overall, 3-1 in the conference. South Spencer, who started out winning their first six games, I believe, and Ted O'Brien's been on the show. I kind of feel bad after that. They've struggled. They're 7-6 overall, going 1-6, I believe, in their last seven games, 2-1 in the conference, so they're still alive. Tell City, 0-4, Gibson Southern, 0-4. Pike Central's 0-3 and 4-5 overall. Blue Chip Conference, of course, the Bar Eve Vikings. Bar Eve, 10-1, their only loss in the Kentucky-Indiana Challenge to a much larger school in Elizabethtown. Kentucky, they're 4-0 in the conference. South Knox, Wood Memorial, also undefeated with Vincennes Revay. And Lagodi's in a struggle this year at 3-9. Shoals pulls up the rear at 1-8. Other area schools, Perry Central's 8-2. Day School's 4-6. And Cannleton, 1-11. WBDC, of course, one of our big contributors to the show, Kurt Guxell, sports director, does the Southridge games. WBDC will start streaming their games tonight at wbdc.us. So If you want to follow the Southridge Raiders in basketball, they've got a nice team. You want to, or you just want to listen to our buddy Kurt, because his play-by-play is great. He does a great job. Who knows, he might even mention the Coach K and Joe show. You can now follow them, WBDC.us. Streaming the games live. Joining us now is he, I think Don Schulteis, our contributor out of Indianapolis, is ready. Is he ready to go, Joe?
I'm here, Coach K.
All right, Don, we're going to talk some Indy high school hoops, and I know that that is a topic that a lot of our listeners love to listen to, especially out of the central part of the state, and people who follow the potential Division I players that are coming up. But before we do that, Don, you and I have a very good friend and family. Their family is a good friend, and that is Tom Chickalis. And, of course, his dad, Jerome Ollis, was the mayor of Jasper for many, many years. In fact, I remember we'd sit around with a beer talking hoops, and we'd talk about Jerome, and we'd say to Chick, four more years, four more beers. And it was a lot of fun. But they had the loss of their matriarch of the family, Annie Ollis, as we knew her, 88, the mother of seven children, a good friend of our family, and a great, I mean, they love sports, especially baseball. Of course, they've run the semi-pro Jasper Reds, the oldest semi-pro, continuous semi-pro team in existence in the United States of America. Their funeral is today, and we definitely want to take a minute, Don, and send our condolences to our very, very good friend, Tom Chickalis, and just maybe spend a couple minutes talking about Annie and the family, and I know you've got that soft heart for him as well.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Our thoughts and prayers are with the Ollis family today, and Annie was such a foundation for that rowdy bunch, but, you know, Tom and Bob and Bill and Joe and Jerry, and I think Tom's nephew, Jerry's son, Austin Ollis, is a big high school player for Jasper in football and baseball and basketball. So the Ollis family has definitely been part of the sports scene in Jasper for decades, literally. And I would just hate to have them, you know, go through this, but, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with them.
You know, also Bev, his sister Bev, and other sister Eve, it's a big family, traditional Catholic family in Jasper, Indiana. Again, our thoughts and condolences. And, you know, Chick, Tom has meant so much to us, and I'm sure we'll have him on the show at some point to talk about the Jasper Reds and possibly his brother Bob. They've all played baseball. I mean, they just love baseball. And I know one of their recent pictures was the entire family and some of the grandchildren sitting around mom and dad up at Ruxer Field and taking a picture in baseball garb. And he's a big Philadelphia Phillies fan. But Tom has come through for the Schulteis, as he used to say. How many Schulteis are there? He's come through many times for us. So our condolences, our best wishes, and I can only ask the good Lord above to bring them peace as their mom goes really to what we believe will be a better place, and we wish them peace, and especially Jerome, who has lost his, at least for now, his lifetime partner and spouse, and I'm sure best friend in Annie Ollis. Donnie, it's cold outside, but it's warm in the gyms of Indianapolis. I know we've missed some games due to the weather. They've missed them all over the state, but things are still happening up in Indy. The city basketball tournament has been played and is over down in the Evansville area, but up in Indy, you've got those first couple rounds going, and how's things going in Indy hoops?
Well, things are really hot and heavy, and I think this is a prelude to how the sectional and state tournament will kick off as we get to the end of February into the first part of March. And we just ended last weekend the Marion County tournament, and schools like Lawrence North and Lawrence Central and Ron Colley and Park Tudor are in that. They're in the extended county but not in the city limits. So they play a Marion County tournament, which Clark Tudor won, led by Trevon Blewett, who we've talked about many times on the show, and if not the leading candidate, one of the top three leading candidates for Mr. Basketball. And he put on another show through that tournament and led that crew at Clark Tudor to another Marion County championship. And then as we entered this week, we kicked off the Indianapolis City Tournament. And that's a tournament for those schools that are inside the city limits of Indianapolis. And the top four seeds have made it through the first two rounds and will be playing at Indianapolis Tech tomorrow night starting at 6 o'clock. And then the second game will follow around 7:30, quarter to 8, depending on how that first one shapes up. But no surprise here, Coach K. We've got Indianapolis Tech, who scored 100 points last night to beat Bishop Chittard, 100-45. We've got Indianapolis Howe, and incidentally, Tech is the number one seed in the tournament. Howe is the fourth seed of the tournament, and they beat Indianapolis Washington 90-42, so two very lopsided games that were played at Tech last night. And then at Cathedral, we had Cathedral beat Indianapolis Crispus Attucks 72-47, another lopsided game. I was at that game, and Cathedral opened on fire, struggled a little bit through the second quarter, and then lit on fire again in the second half and coasted to a pretty easy victory. And then Indianapolis Cecina, where your buddy Ron Heklinski, Coach K, is an assistant coach, they won on a last-second shot by point guard Zach Rutland. They won 52-50 over Marshall, Indianapolis John Marshall. I have to tell you, John Marshall led the entire game until that shot, and it was heartbreaking for them, but great victory for Cecina. So Saturday night, the top four seeds will play. It'll be Tech against Howe to open up the festivities, the semifinal round, and Cathedral will play Cecina.
You know, Don, that really is exciting. These are some outstanding teams with some outstanding players. You've got the great player, of course, for Tech, but you've got Cathedral, who always is competitive. I'm interested in the Cathedral-Cecina game, obviously, because Ron Heklinski, former coach at Wapahani, Jasper, Edgewood, a couple stints as assistant in college, and then a longtime coach at Anderson. He's working in assistant's position with a former player of his, and loving it. Is this Cecina team in a position where they can compete with Cathedral in this game?
Well, I think they'll compete with them. I don't think we saw the best of Cecina last night. They really struggled for three quarters. They kicked it in towards kind of the end of the third quarter, into the fourth quarter, and made a big run. They played kind of unemotionally, not a lot of energy early. I don't know if they were looking past John Marshall to the semifinal round or not, but as we all know, when you're in these tournaments where it's one and done, you better be focused at the task at hand or you're going to end up sitting and watching the next game, and they just about did. So I suspect that there'll be a different Cecina team play Cathedral tomorrow night. But last night they were just a little bit flat. They do have some talent on that team, very junior heavy, so they're going to be, most of them are going to be back next year. And so from that standpoint, it should be an exciting game, and we'll see. You know, if Cecina can play as they have in games past, it'll be a good game. Cathedral, I should say, is playing some of their best basketball. I know you had wondered how I could keep them into the top five, over the weeks. But they came off beating Indianapolis Pike two weekends ago and then followed up by beating Carmel, who had been undefeated and number one in the state last Wednesday, a week ago this past Wednesday. And so they are playing well. And so it should be a good contest tomorrow.
You know, Don, take you just aside just for a second. I don't know if this is a conscious or an unconscious effort going on with these individual players or these teams or these coaches, but this Mr. Basketball thing has really ramped up out of the Indianapolis area and obviously blew it from Park Tudor and Blackman and the big man at Tech. I mean, it seems like these teams are scoring a lot of points, burying people, and these individual players are putting up a lot of points. Do you see this as just a part of the flow of the game, or is there a conscious effort here by these guys or these teams to make sure these featured players are maybe, I don't want to say padding their stats, but making sure these point totals blow up?
Well, I don't think anybody would admit to that, but I do believe that there is some of that going on. I mean, the fact of the matter is that for Park Tudor with Trevon Blewett and Marion with James Blackman Jr., those individual players are by far the best players on those teams, those respective teams. And so they are going to be – their offense is going to be run around them. And with Trey Lyles at Tech – he is surrounded. They've got what I consider to be a great high school team. And I know I've been talking about these guys for the last couple of years, and particularly this year. I told you they're my pick from the beginning to win the state championship in 4A, and I think they're the best team in the state. You know, the other night in the first round of the city tournament, I don't even think Trey Lyles played. And they won by 40. And so that tells me, and I've seen him play now three times, and I'm going to see him a fourth and possibly a fifth time. They're just a good team. And I think Trey Lyles on a different team, his numbers would even be greater. But for me, I think he's Mr. Basketball. I think it'll come down probably to how far they can get. You know, if Trevon Blewett leads Park Tudor to another state championship, that'll be 3 out of 4 years. And with his numbers, he might get it. I don't think Marion's going to go as far in the tournament. But this Tech team, and I may eat crow in March because they might get upset, but they're tough. And they got a great cast, one of the best high school teams I've seen in a long time.
I would agree that this Tech team plays hard. See, I like a team that not only has a great player or great players, athletic, but also play hard on both ends of the floor. And
yeah.
I believe that Tech does that. And even when Trey Lyles is subbed out, they still play at a pretty high level. I think the other difficult thing, Don, and you may not agree or agree with me on this, you've seen them all play more than I have. I think it's easier for Blackman and Blewett to get those opportunities at some extra points because they have the ball in their hands more from the positions they play. And Trey, he really has to wait on his teammates. Doesn't have to, but I'm sure that's part of the offense because he is at a low post, more of a low post player. He's got to wait on that ball to come to him. He doesn't start with it in his hands.
No doubt about it. There are some times I'll have to tell you that he'll go out and run the point for Tech, just the way they'll kind of spread their offense out, and he'll go to the point to kind of open up the middle and make a pass and then get in there. But for the most part, he's really got to get himself in a position to receive the basketball and depend on those teammates. But, you know, he just looks like he's really locked in. He's accepted that role, and I think one of the big things for him is he wants to win. And he's playing with a bit of a chip on his shoulder this year, which was a little bit different than last year. I was wondering how tough he was, but this year he is showing it game in and game out that he is a competitor and that he really wants to win. And they are clicking on all cylinders, and there's just no doubt in my mind that he's you know, he's the backbone of that team, and you know, he's a great high school player, and we all know he's going to Kentucky next year, and has the potential to be a one and doneer. But you know, a lot of things can happen between now and then. But it'll be fun, you know, as we get through the city tournament, and then we get through the final month of the season, and then into the state tournament. It'll be a lot of fun to see how that all rolls out. Yeah, and to our listeners, our live listeners, we've got about 9 minutes left in the show. If you've got a question, you can call us at 773-897-6325 if it concerns Indianapolis High School hoops or just anything we've talked about. Or you can text me directly, Coach K, 812-480-9449. We're talking with Don Schultheis, our Indianapolis High School hoops contributor throughout the year. And Don, another team in the Indianapolis area that we don't hear much about. It's coached by a very good friend of mine, Bob Carter. I've known him since I was in college. He was starting to coach as an assistant with Ron Heklinski, and we got to know each other from there. Bob, or Bobby as I call him, is at Mooresville High School. He's the head coach. He's been there a long time. Bobby, just a great guy, a basketball junkie, a basketball guy, period. He's had some good teams. He's had some struggles. I know a couple of years ago he was wondering how much longer he was going to do it. I know I encouraged him in my message to him, keep doing it as long as you love hoops, because once you leave, you leave. And now his team is playing great basketball. They're fourth ranked in 4A. They are 10-1. Don, how about Bobby Carter and his Mooresville team? Is this a team that can make some noise here when tournament time comes? Well, they've really come out of nowhere. I mean, at the start of the season, they were unranked. They came off of kind of a subpar year last year. I think they were around 500, maybe a game or two above or below, but brought a number of their kids back. There was a really nice article about Mooresville in the Indy Star a week or so ago, and, you know, Bobby Carter, who was an assistant at Jasper under Ron Heklinski, has got a legitimate team. And they play Plainfield tonight, which I don't think they should have a lot of problems with. But 10-1, they said they're really playing very good ball. I have to admit, I have not seen them play yet. But to get through the kind of schedule that they've had and to be 10-1 at this point, you know, I think a lot of heads are turning, and they're starting to say, who is this Mooresville team that's, you know, coming out of nowhere? So that could be a Cinderella, as Dick Vitale likes to say, upset city in the tournament where they knock off somebody that wasn't expecting it. Well, I'm excited for Bobby, and I'll deal with Joe, and we'll get him on the show. I believe he's a Mooresville High School graduate, so he's back home, and I think he even coached at Plainfield at one point when he left Jasper. I'm telling you, folks, I know guys who love basketball. I know guys who love to coach. Bobby Carter loves both of them. He's a junkie when it comes to that. It makes me sad. Ron's still coaching. Bobby's coaching. What am I doing? I'm talking to Don Schultheis and Joe Milligan on the Coach K and Joe Show. Don, before we let you go, like I said, we got about 5 minutes left. Anything going on that you don't like, or something that's been a surprise that you would want our listeners to know about? Not really. I mean, I'm pretty locked into the city tournament this weekend. I'm excited to go out because it's so darn cold up here. I mean, it was 0 degrees this morning, and students have been going to school on a 2-hour delay, and I guess there's some more snow coming in again. But, you know, there's some great basketball going on, and thank goodness we've got that as a diversion through these tough winter weeks. And there's some other great games I just might add to our conversation this weekend. I mean, we've got Lawrence North that's playing North Central, and Aaron Gordon leads North Central. That's going to be a big game. We've got Warren Central and Lawrence Central playing. And we've got Pike at Carmel tonight. So there's a lot of good basketball at the high school level. And I encourage, as Joe always does, at the end of your broadcast, you know, there's a lot of talent to watch, and these games are $5 to get in to watch some great talent and maybe some future stars of the college world here in the next few years.
Yeah, and Pike and Carmel, I would think there'll be a nice crowd for that. That's good basketball. That's well-coached basketball, but it's outstanding players as well. Don, how about those Paul George named as a starter on the All-Star team? We had Tyler Zeller on earlier, and he talked about how good the Pacers are, and you know, he keeps track of them. They did stub their toe at Phoenix the other night, but they lead the league in defense as far as field goal percentage shooting. This Pacer team, from the top to the bottom, Indianapolis basketball is pretty good when you talk high school, you talk college, and now you're talking pro with the Pacers.
The Pacers are outstanding. There's no doubt about it. The moves that Larry Bird had done in the offseason, particularly bringing Louis Scola in as part of that second unit, has just really rounded out the Pacer team. I think last year a lot of criticisms was on the second unit when they would come in. There was a little bit of a letdown, particularly scoring. And, boy, there's most games these guys are locked in. And they're really focused offensively, but I think what really sets them apart is their ability to play defense and lock their opponents down. And granted, they're going to have a game like they did at Phoenix every once in a while because it's just a long, grueling season. But for the most part, game in and game out, these guys do it on both ends of the floor. And you got Roy Hibbert, who right now. All the pundits and even the ones from, as you call them, the mothership, talk about him as defensive player of the year. You've got that. You've got Paul George, who's a starter on the All-Star team. They just announced the starters yesterday, and Paul George is going to be starting on the Eastern Conference All-Star team along with Carmelo Anthony, Kyrie Irving, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade. What a group to be part of, right? And then you've got on the Western side, Kobe Bryant, who's probably not going to be playing, right? He's not been cleared yet. Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Blake Griffin, and Kevin Love. So, you know, Pacers, can't say enough about them. There's a buzz up here as the days are going on. More and more people are talking about it. I was asked the other day, have you been out to see the Pacers? Man, they're really fun to watch. You know, the buzz is back. And but it's a long season. And as your guest last week, Slick Leonard, said, we really got to see what things look like in April, April and May, so that we can get this thing and round it out.
Well, I can tell you this. If the Eastern Conference All-Stars are going to count on Carmelo Anthony to bring that, lift that team up, they're sadly mistaken. It's going to take Paul George, because Carmelo Anthony is a black hole, and I've said it before, till he learns to let somebody up in the front seat with him, he can still drive, but until he lets some people sit up in the front seat with him, he is always going to be in the back seat when it comes to playoff time. And just as I look at the statistics, the Knicks are 15-27, 15-27, and the sad thing is, Don, the only team with a better than 500 or better record in that particular division of the Eastern Conference, the Atlantic Division, is Toronto at 21-20. But the Pacers are 33-8, Miami's 31-12, and Don, before we leave the live portion of the show, and before we let you go, let me ask you this quickly. You know about Greg Oden in high school and at Ohio State. What a great story. He's gotten some playing time here lately. Looked pretty decent. It's a feel-good story and exciting to see Greg Oden possibly have an opportunity to come back and be a contributor on the NBA level.
no doubt about it. I mean, he's a good guy, and he works hard, and he's just battled since he's left college, just battled injuries. And it's so great. I bet it's just awesome for him to be able to get out on that court again. You know, my hope is that he can stay healthy and they bring him back the way they need to ensure that. But now the only counter to that is the fact that he's with the Heat, and when it comes down to playoff time, we don't want him to be the X factor that ends up kicking us out of the show because he's, you know, done something phenomenal. But it's great. It's great for him. It's great, I think, for Indianapolis as well to get him going. And boy, what a talented player he has been in the past. And hopefully he can get closer to that level.
Yeah, and folks, it's just another reminder. And I borrow the words from the great North Carolina State coach. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. You know, sometimes the plan doesn't go as you thought it was going to go. The path changes a little bit, but you got to have faith. Obviously, in my life, I would want you to start with faith in the good Lord above and have faith in yourself. And even when everybody's telling you, you can't come back, you can't get there, that door's not going to open, that window's not going to be able to be pulled up, that injury's not going to heal, there's no other path for you, don't listen. Believe in yourself. Keep giving it everything you've got. And surround yourself with people who are going to help lift you up and not pull you down. Joe, we're coming to the end of the show. You want to take us home, my friend? I don't know, Don. I guess Joe doesn't want to take us home. I guess Joe took a bathroom break or a coffee break or something. We're coming up at the end of the live portion of the show, and we will be obviously running a little bit longer on podcast. We had a great show with Tyler Zeller. Of course, our indie contributor on High School Hoops, Don Schultheis. Great stuff again. Folks, if you're out of the Midwest, a lot of good players, you're going to be hearing their names on the college level, and you heard them first here on the Coach K and Joe show. And, of course, we're excited about Peyton Manning. Even though he's no longer an Indianapolis Colt, we're excited about the Broncos and Peyton Manning. And I'm sure Jim Irsay has plenty to say to himself as he looks at himself in the mirror as Peyton gets ready to play in the Super Bowl. Joe, are you back?
Yes, I am. I my phone locked up, and I put myself on hold for a second.
It's always something, Joe.
Sorry. It is, but but I'll tell you what. I was going on with the clothes, and all of a sudden you started talking again. I thought, well, I guess you don't want me to.
I love you, Joe. I
will continue on. I said, as a wise man, Don Schultheis once said, go out and support your local sports for $5-6. You can't come up with a better value. And we'll be announcing our guests for next week very soon. And you're going to want to stay tuned and find out who that is, because we've got some good ones coming up. So for Coach Schultheis, for Don Schultheis, I'm Joe Milligan. Until next week, see you then.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.